The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus told his disciples this parable. A man going on a journey called in his servants and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. Immediately the one who received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5. Likewise, the one who received 2 made another 2. But the man who received 1 went off and dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants came back and settled accounts with his servant. The one who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing the additional 5. He said, "Master, you gave me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more. His master said to him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you were faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibilities. Come, enter your master's joy." Then the one who had received 2 talents came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Since you are faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibility. Come, enter your master's joy." Then the one who had received the 1 talent came forward and said, "Master, I knew that you were a demanding person, harvesting where you didn't plant and gathering where you didn't scatter. So out of fear, I went off and buried your talent in the ground. Here it is back." His master said to him in reply, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I did not plant and gather where I did not scatter? Should you not then have put my money into the bank so that I could have gotten it back with interest on my return? Now then, take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10. For to everyone who has, more will be given and he'll grow rich. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And throw this useless servant into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today is the last day of our study of St. Matthew's Gospel in this liturgical cycle of daily Mass readings. As we heard 2 days ago with the parable of the servants, the faithful and prudent servants in charge of the master's household when the master went away. So we would have heard yesterday, if we didn't have the gospel for the beheading of St. John the Baptist, and the parable of the 5 wise virgins and the 5 stupid virgins. And again today, Jesus is describing to us how we're to prepare for the end of the world, how we're supposed to prepare for our judgment. In each of these 3 parables, he goes away and he totally entrusts his work to us. 2 days ago, we heard that he entrusted his household to us. And are we going to be alert for his constant presence? Are we going to be distributing his food at the proper time? The parable of the wise virgins. We see that loving expectation for his return and our constant vigilance out of love. And today we see that he's entrusted massive talents to us, massive gifts, the gift of his whole kingdom, that he's going to come back and he wants us to be able to show him the difference that kingdom's made. It's not about the numbers, which some of the times we're confused about in our egalitarian American society. It's not about the numbers. It's about the master wanted his servants to share in the gift of being, in a sense, masters. In the gift of all that he has given to us, that he wants us to use freely, not as slaves, in order to build up not only his kingdom, but build up ourselves in joy. So what do we see? In the parable, he gives 3 different amounts to 3 different servants. 5 talents to 1, 2 talents to another, 1 talent to the third. We can just say 1 measly talent. But a talent doesn't mean singing ability. A talent was a measurement, a weight measurement in the ancient world. And a talent of silver or copper or gold would be enormously wealthy. One talent of silver would be equal to 6,000 days' wages. About 16 years worth of work. Or if somebody were making 12 and a half bucks an hour, working 8 hours a day, what that would mean would be about $600,000. So none of these were meager amounts. Some had received more, but everybody received a fortune. And notice what happened with the one who received 5 and the one who received 2. Immediately, the parable says, they went out and they started to take advantage of these gifts in order to make a dividend for their master. The third one, who had received only $600,000, what happened with him? He was afraid. He was fearful, and his fear choked him, rather than going out and immediately trying to get more for his master. He went out and he dug a hole. He worked in the wrong way. The word translated lazy really means timid. And he went out and he buried. Because rather than looking at what the master had done and saying, here is my treasure, I trust in you enough that I'm giving what is mine over to you so that you might grow, this man thinks that the master, rather than trusting him, is a fearful, cruel tyrant who's going to demand way too much upon his return. So out of fear, he just buries it. What's the spiritual lesson here? Spiritual lesson is this is going to the scribes and the Pharisees. They were taking the incredible talent of God's law and just buried it in the ground. It wasn't making them grow at all. They weren't growing to be more like God. They were just keeping everything exactly to the letter the way that they had found it. And instead of growing, which is what the Lord wanted, instead of just remaining static, because you can never remain static, they were actually regressing and becoming neurotically attached to what they had buried because they had buried themselves with the talent. It's a great lesson here for us. It's not about what we've received, but the effort to build on what we've received. And this is both at a natural and supernatural level. At a natural level, some of us have different talents in different areas. Some of us have received a better education. Some of us have greater athletic ability. Some of us have a much greater capacity for listening. Some of us have been blessed with better health than others. Some of us have been blessed with positions of responsibility that maybe fell into our lap that others will never have. Whatever we have, we're supposed to use that for the kingdom. Whether it's 5, whether it's 2, whether it's 1, whether it's 500, doesn't matter. As much as what we've been given is not for ourselves, but we're supposed to be stewards of the Master and use that for Him. At a deeper level, the talents that we've received, the greatest talents that we've received, are the talents that so many take for granted. What is the greatest talent you have ever received in your life? Good guess, Norman, but no! Good guess, though, Norman. Thank you, Gene. Gene scores up here in the front row. It's Jesus Christ Himself in the Holy Eucharist. The greatest talent we've ever received. We have received God. But do we really invest this? Again, just look at the stats. 4 out of 5 Catholics in the United States don't invest this. It's buried in a part of their life. And even out of those who come to Mass on Sunday, the 1 out of 5, very few who could come to Mass during the week ever do. What a terrible waste. St. John Vianney used to say about his own people, if they had received Holy Communion more frequently, they would have become saints. Greatest talent we've ever received. Let's not rank the others, but what are the other great talents we've received? Talent of the Word of God. But how many Catholics really take this as the treasure that it is and bear great dividends from this gift? So many of us know far more about trivia about soap operas or sports statistics than we do about the Word of God. What an incredible gift this is. gift of the church, the gift of our parishes, the gift of those who share our faith in the Lord. What an incredible treasure that is. But do we really invest that treasure? Do we come? Do we spend the time? The opportunity to pray in front of the Lord. What an unbelievable gift that is. The opportunity for charity. That everyone who is sent to us as a gift from the Lord. And if we respond to that person, even if that person drives us crazy, we're being totally changed in the process. An enormous wealth that has been given. Are we running with haste to invest this gift? Or are we burying it in the ground? Are we allowing it to remain static and produce no fruit? Many of us don't even put these gifts in the bank. We don't even bear minimal returns. But the Lord, if we're energetic, He'll bless our efforts. And often we'll double. It'll totally change us so that we're able to give the Lord back what He has given us. And give it back twice because we're giving ourselves back with the gift. Many of us have inferiority complexes in our faith. We look out at everybody else and we say, they're better than us. If I were only in their circumstances, I might have been able to do something more. It's not the attitude that the Lord wants. He wants us to focus on what we do have rather than what we don't, and use what we have for His kingdom, knowing that He has already blessed us with enormous treasures, even if others seem to have greater treasures. Today in the first reading, St. Paul writes what I think is one of the most beautiful passages and consoling passages in all of sacred scripture. It's a letter to the Corinthians. He says that many of us might be those who have been given one talent by the Lord. There might be others with twos and fives. Who cares? The Lord's plan to do it that way. What we see in human life often, the people who are members of Mensa, you know, those with IQs over 160, often aren't the people who change the world for the better. The people who change the world for the better are the people who might have IQs about 100 or 120, who just work hard. They're the ones who really bear fruit. They may have received less, but they produce more because they don't bury it or they don't use it selfishly. That's why St. Paul wrote to the first Christians, "Not many of you were wise by human standards, not many powerful, not many of noble birth, but God chose you anyway. He chose the foolish of the world to shame the wise, because often the fools for Christ are the ones who are going to do far more than those who are blessed with fabulous educations. God chose the weak of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly and despised of the world, those who in the world's eyes count for nothing, to reduce to nothing those who think they're something, so that no human being might boast before the Lord." Maybe we consider ourselves among those lowly ones. In some ways we're supposed to see ourselves among those lowly ones. That in a sense, what we don't have is a blessing because it makes us far more dependent on God. And it's when we become far more dependent on God that we're able to exceed the powerful. We're able to exceed the noble. We're able to exceed the rich. We're able to exceed the famous. Because it's no longer our own efforts. It's God's efforts with us. And God is so tall that He can take a little munchkin like us, put us on His shoulders, and we're higher than the rest. He said at the end of this passage, "It's due to Him that you are in Christ Jesus, our greatest talent of all, who became for us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He is our knowledge. He is our justice, what puts us on a right relationship with God and others. He is our sanctification. He is the one who from the inside out makes us holy. He is the one who saves us. These are our great gifts and makes us so much richer. So that as it is written, whoever boasts should boast of the Lord." The reason why this is the Lord's plan is He wants Himself to shine through us rather than Him to decrease so that our own ego may increase. Whoever boasts, boasts in the Lord. This is why we said today five different times, "Blessed the people the Lord has chosen to be His own." Today on this Saturday, we reflect on the one who in the world's eyes wasn't blessed with very much, the small little teenage girl in Nazareth, a humble handmaid of the Lord. But she was blessed with the Lord Jesus, growing from the stage of a one-celled human nature in his divine person in her womb. And she was to become the living instance of how the Lord casts down the mighty from their thrones and lifts up the lowly. Today, through her intercession, we ask her to help us to boast in the Lord, to boast in the gift of the talents He has given us and the talents that He hasn't, and ask that, like her who went with haste in order to bring the Lord to others and start to bear the dividends of the kingdom, that we may go immediately with whatever talents we have out to build up the Lord's kingdom, so that at the end, the Lord may be able to say to us, after we show Him what we've been able to do with the gift of our life, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in these little things. Now share with me the administration of the entire kingdom of heaven, with Mary, with Bernadette, and all the saints. Come, enter your master's eternal joy." Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.